writer at OilersNation.com joins us.
Suds, you got quite the chuckle out of the Mark Messier guess.
Yes, I did. I don't know if you could hear me in the background.
Oh, I could hear you.
Well, I just wasn't expecting that. Yeah. That one. Because I was trying to
Ryan Smith and Mark Messier.
Yeah. I was trying to figure it out myself, and then I hear that one. Oh boy.
You're like, man, I miss playing against Messier.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. I know he's on the team. What happened? I remember you talked about it. Even the guy who was playing in the NHL for another team, that was a fun city to be in at that time in Edmonton.
Oh, it was awesome. For me, coming back here to see all my friends and family to rally around the Oilers, that was one of my most fun summers because we got together every other night, whether it was at a bar or someone's house, someone was having a barbecue and we were watching the Oilers game and probably having a few too many beers, but it was a blast.
Oh, it was lots of fun.
And the hockey's so good, right?
Oh,
I mean, just watching guys battle and play at that high level and play through injuries, there's nothing better.
Were you ever on a team where a coach showed you game film of a playoff game and say, guys, you got to come close to this?
In the regular season?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Wouldn't that, to me, that would kind of, like, if I look at the Edmonton Oilers, and if I was Dallas, hey, I might be pulling out video of the Oilers last time in the playoffs and saying, watch this. This is how you have to battle. And if you don't come close to doing it in the regular season, you're never going to do it in the playoffs.
That's not a bad idea, to show your organization, maybe not picking other games or random teams, but actually guys within the organization doing it. Coaches have done all kinds of different things where there's inspirational videos before games or highlight tapes or whatnot, but I've never had a coach do that, but that sounds kind of like a pretty good idea.
To me, it's something that at this point, there needs to be an understanding of the commitment necessary to win.
Yeah, big time. I think you've seen it improve with the way that guys are putting their bodies in certain situations, blocking shots and paying the price a little bit that way, but you're not seeing it as a whole. You're not seeing every single guy every single night go out and play like it's a playoff game. And that's a lot to ask too. To play 82 games at that level, that intensity is a lot to ask. But the best teams in this league are coming close to that every single night.
Saturday night's performance, teams get blown out.
Yeah.
That was the worst loss in Oilers history to the Calgary Flames. Not the worst loss in franchise, but the worst loss to the provincial. A team that, at least for the time being, looks like they've leapfrogged them in the rebuild department. I'm not sure. Like, I went back and this has got to be the low point. I remember in 2009 when they lost to Buffalo 10-2, people thought that was a low point.
Yeah.
Then the 2010 season happened. Then the 2011 season happened. Now this season is happening. That game, it can always get worse. I'm not sure you can say comfortably that that's the low point. You would like to think that losing 8-1 to the 26th place team could be the low point, but you don't really know, sadly.
I think you hope it's the low point right now. Watching that game, the way it unfolded on Hockey Night in Canada in front of all of Canada and everybody watching, and the Oilers losing to the Calgary Flames, which is, you don't want that in any year, let alone a year that's going like this. And when the Oilers are actually supposed to be better than this team, to get waxed at home 8-1, then you've got the water bottle incident and fighting in the bench, the jersey thing. It just seems like things are really sort of unraveling, and it's unfortunate to see. But, you hope this is sort of as bad as it can get, and they can turn some things around here and at least try to swing something positive in the final 10.
What did you make of the water bottle situation?
Well, I thought given the timing of the game and they're losing, it's everyone's fired up. I don't think it's a very big deal in the long term. I don't think that it's going to affect the relationship of Hall and Aikens. I don't really have a problem with Hall spiking the water bottle. He's frustrated. I think probably most players have done it a couple times in their career. And I don't really have a problem with Aikens at that time in the game going over and being a little bit upset with him. I thought it was a little over the top with the hair and taking off of the jacket and whatnot. I thought that was a little excessive, but I'm sure he was probably telling Taylor Hall to take it out onto the ice instead of, smashing a water bottle kind of thing. And Sometimes it's healthy to have a little back and forth with a coach. I don't think anyone, does anyone even know what was actually said? I mean, No. Who knows?
You ever get
Paul
into it?
Paul might have apologized. I don't know what happened, but I really don't think going forward it's that big of a deal.
No, I would agree. Do you ever get into it with coach?
Yeah, a couple times. Once, behind the scenes, Glenn Hanlon and I had he was pretty hard on me. I was a young kid and, he picked on me quite a bit and finally in one meeting, not in front of anyone though. So, I mean, that's one thing that's a little bit different.
So
with this
yours was a meeting, like you mean in front of your teammates, you stood
up
for yourself?
No, this was just one-on-one and we got in a pretty good yelling match and it actually changed our relationship for the positive. I think he respected the fact that I stood up to him. And
do you think, do you think he was pushing you to see if this guy will ever stand up?
How far, you know, what you're made of. And our relationship from that point forward was fantastic. And one other time was late in my career. Mark Crawford was mad at me because I negated a power play for us in Dallas. Braden Coburn cross-checked me from behind in front of the net as a slap shot was coming and hit me square in the forehead. And luckily hit me in the helmet. But I got up and popped Coburn and dropped my gloves and evened up the penalty. And, obviously for me, the next shift was 4-on-4 and we gave up a 4-on-4 goal. So skating back to the bench, for somehow that was my fault that we still gave up an even strength goal. And Crow actually came over down the bench and kicked me.
What?
Kicked me in the ribs. And I turned around and told him never to do that again. And so there was a little exchange there, and then same thing in the morning. We talked about it and everything. We didn't have a great relationship altogether, but yeah. It is what it is, and we smooth things over and move on.
Wow, he kicked you in the ribs,
and he got me, and it probably I think he was probably just trying to hit me in the pants.
Yeah,
but he got me a little bit above the pants and in between where your shoulder pad, back pad, and so like right where there was no padding. So I felt it and I wasn't very happy about it.
And it was just because of a giveaway?
No, he was pissed that I negated a power play and made it 4-on-4. It was he really shouldn't have been mad at me for it, I don't think. And that's why I was pretty hot about it as well. And I don't think long term it's a big deal, but given the stage, given that all of Canada was watching, 8-1, losing a terrible, it just didn't look good for anybody.
Was it caught on TV? A video?
I don't know. I never actually went and got the video of it. Maybe I should have.
Because I think that's really I think coaches and players go at it way more than people think. And sometimes it's healthy. Yeah. I think sometimes a coach will look, man, this player's not responding. I think sometimes a coach is like, I'm going to push this guy to the point where he finally stands up for himself.
Yeah, it's healthy to an extent. You don't want your players running the ship. You don't want your players feeling like they can just turn around and yell at the coach whenever they please. But from time to time, I think it's a good thing. Coaches pushing players, and players have to stand up for themselves. And again, it's not something that I think is going to boil over here. Even if this game they were playing Nashville, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. It might be a bit of a story in Edmonton, but it's a huge story because it was on Hockey Night in Canada and the way the game went and they were losing. If it was a game where the Oilers managed to come back and win, everyone would be laughing about the whole situation, but it didn't turn out that way.
No. When you're losing and the losses continue to mount, everything's magnified. And I think, like, to me, that got so much play, it distracted from the overall game. Like, the Oilers got outclassed by the Calgary Flames.
Big time.
Like, it wasn't close.
No. And I think that's what, I think when I try to figure out what happened with the water bottle thing and whatnot, I know Glenn Healy went down after the game and sort of broke down some clips of Taylor Hall. And some of them were reaching a little bit, I thought, being a little too harsh. But there was a couple there. I mean, the first goal of the Flames, Hall, the puck's at the blue line and almost out of the blue line, and he decided to skate around the Flames' net. And as a coach, you're watching that. You're seeing your best player in between periods. He's going to watch a video probably 10 times in his coach's room. So he's probably got Hall on his radar already. Then one of the clips that Healy showed was Hall flying by on a hit where he could have hit Giordano, And I didn't need Healy to show me that. As soon as I was watching the game, I noticed it. They'd just given up two or three goals in a minute. And your best player, a kid that maybe could go out and take it on himself and throw a body check there, hit their captain and show that he's mad, he's pissed off, but he's trying to channel it in an aggressive way, and then doesn't do it. It's 4-1, and the way that he shows his anger is by smashing a water bottle. And I think as a coach, that's where he's probably furious that, why are we smashing water bottles? Why aren't we banging bodies out on the ice kind of thing?
Yeah, it's... You'd like to see a little bit more. And to me, that's leadership, right?
Yeah.
That's where... In a nothing, it's never a nothing game. But when the game's online, and if you're not scoring, you've got to find something else to do to at least look like you're trying to be engaged in the game.
Yeah, and I think that's where this organization needs to get to, and where Taylor Hall and some of these young guys, where they really need to learn. And if guys are going to follow them, then they have to start with their habits. And like skating behind the net on that goal, sure, maybe it's not that big of a deal, but when your best player can do it, or he's doing it and he's supposed to be your leader, the guy that everyone's supposed to follow, that's very frustrating as a coach. And it's very frustrating for the players on the bench to wonder, this is the guy we're counting on. Why is he there? Now, it's just a mental error. It's not like I've never done it. I probably do it all the time. But when you see it, it doesn't look very good. And you train yourself to always never skate behind the net, always cut up the ice, back check through the middle of the ice. That's what coaches want. So when you see that, it looks poor. And I think, yeah, when you're down, you're in a game 3-1, 4-1, you're feeling it slip away, you'd like to see a little more jam from guys, and maybe guys you wouldn't expect that are going to provide leadership and say, hey, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone here and start banging some guys, and we're going to try to turn this around instead of sulking.